Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
And welcome in on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. My friend Jonathan Hood has the day off. Enjoy it, big man. Jesse Rogers is in the studio.
What's up, buddy? Good to be back home.
Jed.
Winter meetings are over.
Jed Hoyer, Rick Hahn.
Turn your radio off.
So I flew out
You're
with...
You're not going to like it.
I flew out with Jed. I flew back with Rick. Neither one of them wanted to have a baseball conversation on the plane.
Oh, they were both on your flight?
No, I flew out with Jed, flew back with Rick.
Both?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that way. Didn't get any baseball in with them on the flight, but plenty of baseball talk with both of them during the week. I mean, I'm not surprised that the Sox didn't do anything. And we can withhold full judgment on the Cubs offseason. It's not over. I would say just under 50% over. It's about 40% over for the Cubs. So it's still a long way to go in many senses for the Cubs. We'll talk about it all morning.
Shay Norling.
Yes,
is our,
all morning, Shay.
Shay Norling is our executive producer, and Charlie Bevins is at the controls. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. So I do want to start with you. With a little baseball, we will talk Justin Fields. We will get into the Bears, even though they're on the bye week. They're a 7-point underdog to the bye this week. Let's talk.
That joke never gets old.
It doesn't.
That joke never gets old.
It doesn't.
They might cover the 7.
They might.
On the bye week.
They might. Backdoor. Yeah. I feel better at 7 and a hook.
Right.
Anyway, let's talk about the Chicago Cubs.
I would love to talk about the Cubs. And actually, you know, I'm in San Diego all week, so I don't know what people back here are thinking.
They're mad.
I try not to look at my Twitter timeline because usually they're mad at me,
yeah.
The messenger.
Right.
What are they mad at me for?
Correct.
But I assume they're mad. Wilson Contreras goes to their arch rival. I can't imagine what a diehard Cub fan is thinking. We're only, like I said, halfway through the offseason. I'm torn about what Jed's doing. I sort of understand the two-prong approach of, okay, one-year guys, placeholders in center, probably a placeholder at first. But then I understand longer-term guys like Jamison Taillon. I get that they're doing a two-prong strategy here, but it's moving pretty slowly. We'll see if they get the shortstop. They'll probably add this, you know, Trey Mancini type of person at first, maybe him. They need a catcher now, even though they just said goodbye to an all-star catcher.
I
like how he's building. But then I see the Rangers spending all sorts of money. That's the best team to compare the Cubs to. The Rangers have some decent young players, but weren't ready to win last year, and they signed up two guys for $500 million. Now another guy probably overpaid, Jacob DeGrom, for $185. So are they going to be that much closer this year? You would think so.
Jesse, if they're writing these types of checks, I was having this debate with my brother last night. He's like, you can't give these guys 11-year deals. They do that because they want to spread out the average annual value to get the luxury tax number down. I get it. If they're writing these checks, can you imagine how much money they got in their bank accounts? I'm talking about the owners.
No doubt.
And the teams.
No doubt. I was on with
like
Waddle.
Stupid money.
I was on with Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, and Tommy asked me exactly that. Why now? And the answer is easy. It's right there in front of us. Labor, peace, the problems are behind.
Correct.
Revenue is back, and not only back, it's back and better than ever. Gambling has been huge. And maybe this is more just a coincidence of the times. A bunch of teams came out of the rebuild almost at the same time here. Seattle is one of them. There's a few others on the outskirts that are coming out of it as well. But you have motivated owners. These owners are driving these signings, Cap.
Yeah, agreed.
These owners are driving. These GMs that went to Harvard and Princeton stuff, they wouldn't be giving it. They know the last 5 years of Bogart's deal are probably going to be bad and Trey Turner's deal. Players don't play at 39 like they did at 29. It's pretty simple. But they don't care because they have plenty of money. Seidler in San Diego wants to win now. John Middleton in Philly wants to win now. Where's Jerry Reinsdorf? And I'll give Ricketts the benefit of the doubt for the moment. He's had top three payrolls, but not in the last few years. And we're waiting for it to return. Maybe they'll have a big signing at short, yet to be seen. Certainly not going to be as big as Turner or even Bogarts.
Well, that means they're not getting Correa. Then.
Right. I don't think they're getting Correa. I think they might get Swanson. I've been on the record for that for the last probably 10 days. I think it's been Swanson.
What is Swanson waiting on? I know he's getting married tomorrow.
He's getting married. I think
Want that done? We walk down the aisle and go,
yeah, right.
Okay, here we, like, if that was me, okay, to my agent, whoever that is.
Yes.
I want this deal done because I don't want to slip on my honeymoon and go, oh, my knee. Oh, God. Just cost my.
Maybe he'll announce it when he gives his speech at the wedding tomorrow. Now, a lot of Braves, including Brian Snitker, are in attendance, so it'd be weird if he announced the Cubs or something.
Yeah, I'd like to announce. Hey, Brian, it's been great. I'm a Cub.
I think he's waiting because he has two things. They knew they were going to get the least of the four shortstops, but the higher the other guys get, the higher he can get. So they're waiting for the market to be set. That's one. And two, he's got like the Freddie Freeman decision. This is his hometown team. He's got a really tough decision to
make. But his wife-to-be, Mallory Pugh, is one of the top 10 women soccer players in the country. Yeah. She plays for the Red Stars.
Right.
Chicago.
I think that could be a big deal. I've been told by his people that that's not that big of a deal. When you're talking about that kind of money and length, where you're going to live and all that stuff, it's more about where he fits more than where she fits. So I get that. But I'm curious what people think. 312-332-3776. Where are you on this Cubs sort of rebuild?
Yeah, ask Jesse anything.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, Bellinger's a project, but then Jameson Taillon's a good signing. I like that. You know what I mean? It's like one good, one, you know, okay, maybe, and then one really good, and then one maybe, and then one, the next pitcher they sign, probably reliever for 1 year. Reliever for 1 year.
So they're
reliever
for 1 year. Senga.
I don't think they're favorites. I don't think they're favorites. From what I understand, maybe the Mets and Giants are at the top. Yes, the Mets again? Yes, the Mets again.
You see what they did last
night? Yeah, I know. I know. They
Brandon
got
Brandon Nemo.
This is what I'm saying.
$162 million.
If you are not Steve Cohn, John Middleton, Peter Seidler in San Diego, you get on. If you're an owner, get on board. The sport is moving forward. Rule changes are going to make it a little bit more popular with younger fans, I think. Gambling, the revenues are back. You got to get to, this is 2022. Let's go. Let's go. And there's a bunch of motivated owners in the league. Seattle is a motivated owner. There's a bunch of motivated owners.
Well,
not everybody.
Seattle's owner, how motivated? They haven't done anything.
No, I know, but they do have a good team, and they're building, and they do spend money. They spent on Robbie Ray last year. I mean, they have proven they're willing
to
spend.
The young kid.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Which one? Oh, Rodriguez. Rodriguez, yes.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Julio Rodriguez. Right. There's teams that are willing to spend. The teams that aren't are sticking out like a sore thumb. The White Sox, the Reds, the Pirates. You got to get on board because you don't even look like a major league team, some of these teams. Now, the White Sox do have talent. I'm not saying that. But some of these other teams, the Marlins, the Reds, the Pirates, I mean, what are you doing as owners? So I like the fact that these owners are spending a lot of money. It should raise the bar for everybody.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are the owners in the league, like league-wide, going to start getting mad that San Diego and the Mets are blowing up their spot?
Yeah. Yeah. They will, but so what? So what?
I actually like it. I
match
like
me.
That the Mets and the Padres are kind of forcing the hand of everyone else in the
that's
league. Like,
that's
you can't
what I mean.
Afford to do this.
Somebody raising in the game, the, I raising trust, the bar. Said if we had known Cohen was this guy, we would never have let him in the club.
Well,
I think that's an embarrassing comment.
Yeah, that many have said that.
We should have 30 Steve Cohen.
Exactly. This is a sport that generated $11 billion last year, just coming out of the pandemic, full season attendance. It's only going to go up. And I said this yesterday or the other day, gambling has been huge, Cap. Remember, when gambling became legal, the NFL didn't even blink. People were betting on the NFL anyway. Nobody was betting on baseball. Now it's become a thing to bet on baseball. And the rule changes are only going to help the game. It's going in the right direction. Labor peace is huge. Cost certainty is huge. Understanding the market now for the next 5 years is huge for these owners. So I commend all those owners spending money. 11 and 280, it's not my money. And they obviously don't care about Correct. The last 4 or 5 years of those deals.
Correct.
Because you know what? They'll get the next star. As Bogaerts fades, they'll get the next star if they're continue to be motivated owners. But I'm torn by the Cubs. I want to get your opinion. I like the Jed is being sort of flexible and nimble, but at some point you got to go. And would you like to be the Texas Rangers signing up these deals before you're ready to win? Different strategies. They're signing up big names before they're ready to win, I guess in order to get them to win. The Cubs aren't doing it that aggressively. Maybe they'll sign the shortstop. So I think it's interesting how the strategies are a little different.
312-332-3776. What do you think of what your baseball team has done? Cubs or White Sox? And Rick Hahn, he can only do what the checkbook allows him to do. It's not on him. We have a special guest who is calling in on the listener line. He is a diehard Cubs fan. And I still hold out hope he moves back here to cover the Bulls, but they're about ready to go through another rebuild.
Oh, this must be my guy, Nicky.
Nicky Friedel!
Oh, my God.
What's up, Friedel?
I mean, I wake up and I hit the app like I always do every morning to listen to Cabin Hoodie. And I hear my man Jess, and I'm thinking, okay, let's just torch this whole thing because it's been such a joke over the last week. And I hear my man Jess go, you know, I want to give Ricketts the benefit of the doubt for now. And I almost fell out of my bed. This guy, are we serious? You have to spend money. We're getting outbid by the Padres and the Rangers. And we're talking about biblical losses when you've gotten every single thing you wanted around Wrigleyville. You won a title. You didn't re-sign all these guys that you created and helped push through the system. And now we're doing one-year contracts for Cody Bellinger. It's like they're doing free agent shopping at TJ Maxx.
This is beautiful. This is you are like my Twitter timeline, because half of it is, Jesse, you are so negative about the Cubs. The other half is, why do you defend Ricketts? And I think Cap and I are on the same page when it comes to Ricketts. We'll give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt, because all I'm saying is they've had top three payrolls before, and I know if Sylvie was on the line, he'd say the same thing, but the question is, will they have it again? And it certainly doesn't seem in the near future they will, with all these other teams spending.
Jess, you listen to the same people I do day to day. Can you imagine being a season ticket holder right now for this team? I mean, I went through it in the Dale Swain years, where I was texting you every day going, who on this field right now is actually going to be here when it matters? And we kept coming back to Rizzo. But to watch what's occurred lately, on top of watching what's occurred in the last few years, and them getting outbid by all these teams that don't have the revenue streams that they have, it's embarrassing to be in Chicago, Illinois, for a team that just won a title a few years ago. Ricketts should be getting hammered every single day.
Okay, so Nick,
you've got to spend money to make it happen in baseball.
Okay, Nick, so they are in the bidding on certain guys. I watched there's a great article in the Boston Globe yesterday. Their writer tracked down Chaim Bloom, their GM,
at the airport. I saw that, yeah.
He walks up to him, and Chaim Bloom's like, I'm in shock, because he told him, we offered Xander Bogaerts 6 for 160. He got 11 for 280. They were 120 million light. And I keep hearing, and I love Jed, but intelligence spending?
That goes out the window.
Intelligence spending?
That goes out the window.
That's gone, like, man. And that, if you can't play in the deep end of the pool, then get out of the freaking pool.
Which is exact. I agree. And it applies to Jerry Reinsdorf as much as certainly more than it does to Ricketts, to be honest.
I think Tom has... I've been told, not by people at the Cubs, despite what they might want to think, that they've been told by Tom... Here's the checkbook. Go get it.
I agree, but they were told that at the beginning of the offseason. Here's the checkbook. Go get it. I agree. They need a star there. Attendance was the lowest since 97. Why do you think the Giants are desperate for Judge or maybe now Correa? The stars draw if you're not going to win. I agree, but this is that. There it is, Nick. Cap is saying kind of when this is as on Jed as much as it on Ricketts in terms of at least getting one.
No. I'm not
at least in terms of getting
Jed.
One.
Come on now. You don't let it go on Jed. This has been on Ricketts for years now since it all fell apart. And it's sick, guys, because and Jess has heard this argument 100 times. As a diehard fan, I was okay with letting all those guys walk because none of those guys are who we all hoped they would be long term. It was okay.
You didn't think that at the time, though, Nick. This is hindsight. You did not think that at the time. You wanted Rizzo's autograph every day of your life, for God's sakes. You didn't want to see them go, so you're playing 2020. You're looking at hindsight here.
No. Cap, I've had this conversation with Cap, too. It's true. All those guys, the Rizzos and Baezes and Bryants, everybody thought they were going to be great forever and ever, and they're not.
Tricky, Nicky, can you hold on?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Ooh. He's got no life.
Yeah, hold on. All right. We're late. We'll take our break. We'll come back. So you hear Nick's passion. He's a season ticket. It was a season ticket. He's in the MLB video at Cleveland in Game 7 sweating through his underwear. Yes. What do you think? Does Ricketts deserve the benefit of the doubt? Is this on Jed? Ask Jesse anything. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, rolling on. Jesse Rogers in for my guy Hoodie, who's off today.
Let me make it clear to Nick. Let me make it clear to Nick and anybody listening.
Nick Friedell called in from his bedroom out east in
New
York.
He's like my long lost brother.
The best.
He's the best. But let me make it clear to you, Nick. When it comes to a big signing, one at least this offseason, Jerry Reinsdorf is saying no, and Tom Ricketts is saying yes. Now, is he saying yes to going past the luxury tax? No. But he's saying yes to an increased payroll and bringing in a star player. Now, again, that's the question I'm asking. Are they going too slow with this? Should they be more like the Rangers, or are they doing it the right way? And again, they haven't made that addition yet, so I can't praise them yet. But they have bid on all four shortstops. So far, two of the bids have been too low. So maybe you want to call them cheap. But this is Jed's decision right now. When they get to the luxury tax, that's where he's going to have to chime in again, ownership. But make no mistake, Reinsdorf will not allow a big signing. Tom Ricketts will. Go ahead, Nick.
I don't care about Reinsdorf. I don't care about the White Sox. This is a Cubs town. It always will be. I am a Cubs fan. I have been my entire life. I care how Tom Ricketts runs his team. And I was very critical because I watched it as a fan, as a season ticket holder for those years where they were tanking. They were terrible. To his everlasting credit, he hired Theo. Theo hired Madden. They put the pieces together. They spent on Lester. We all know how that went. Great for Tom Ricketts. But you don't stop being an owner after your team wins the World Series.
Agreed.
The first time.
Agreed.
That's the issue. And that's why I am so ecstatic that my man Cap has finally seen the light and is finally criticizing Ricketts. We need to throw Crane in there, too, because clearly the wheelbarrows full of cash aren't as loaded as we all thought they were going to be. The thing that pisses me off, though, as a fan, is that Ricketts has the money to do whatever the hell he wants. And now we're doing this shell game. Well, Ricketts clearly wants it out there. Hey, we're going to spend money. And now we're going to blame Jed. We're going to blame Jed Hoyer when Ricketts could have been spending money the last few years. I told you all both this story. I went to Baltimore. Cap, I talked to you that night.
Yep.
This is last year.
Yep.
That team was horrific. They were embarrassing to watch. I go back to New York. I go see them play the Yankees twice.
Oh, I was. Yeah, we were there together. We sat.
Exactly.
We sat there together, Nick. Sat in the stands together. And we put. We put bags over our heads.
Saturday night game.
Oh my God!
And it was one of the worst Cubs games I've ever seen in all my years. And I went, "This is a joke," because what happened is, and this is the truth, Jess. When they said, "All right, we're not going to." I mean, Cap wanted to give Rizzo $100 million, which is comical looking back. I remember that article. Oof. Oh, boy. So aside from Rizzo and aside from Brian, which, hey, good luck Rockies on that deal.
Yeah.
Good luck Tigers on the Baez deal.
Yeah.
All bad deals. We all agree. Okay. You never filled those spots. They never spent any money.
Well, they started over. They started over. That's basically it.
But that's the problem. They didn't. Yeah. They hadn't built up the farm system anything.
Okay, but
that
let me
relevant.
Ask. That's
Nick,
another one that's not Ricketts' fault that they didn't build up the farm
Ricketts'
system.
Fault.
But you have to spend money all over the place in order to make it work.
I will
and
say
I'm
no,
doing
Nick.
This through
Nick,
the lens
you're,
of a
it's 20. You're right.
Through a lens of a fan.
We are agreeing with you because it's 2022, and what are we seeing around the league? Super teams being formed by aggressive owners. So I'm in agreement with that. And that's why I'm asking the question is Jed's strategy feel somewhat antiquated? Like he's trying to build one prong at a time. And, you know, while the Texas Rangers are throwing all sorts of money. Like that's a good example. I keep going back to that team because that's a team that has some nice young players, but wasn't ready to win. Yet they spent $500 million on two shortstops and now $185 million on a guy that barely starts. But they're trying.
And here's what I would tell you back, and I feel like I speak for a lot of Cubs fans with this. When I hear Jed Hoyer say, we have to spend intelligently, I feel like he's getting his talking points straight from Ricketts.
Well, it's an oxymoron because free agency is almost never about spending intelligently. It's just
exactly.
Not.
Exactly. So. And you guys just said it. You've got to have owners who come in and say, hey, we're going to spend some cash. And I'm not saying, okay, well, if the Cubs get Dansby Swanson after he gets married next week, okay, well, all is well and good. No.
No, you're right. It's not enough. It's not enough. Yeah.
Exactly. What is upsetting to me is that over these last few years, they went from, all right, let's see what happens with this core. And again, 19, 20, the pandemic, all this weird stuff. What is so frustrating is you've got these ownership groups, again, San Diego in Texas,
Philly.
Who are just spending all over the place. Philly, they're spending money. The Cubs are not spending big money, and the Cubs are in Chicago, Illinois, with a team.
What if they announce right now that they got Correa for 12 and 360? What would you say then?
I'd say great. They finally are spending again.
Yeah. So they have to do it first, though.
Right.
Yeah. They have to do it.
To me, this is the whole key. It's the optics of the whole situation. It goes back to what Jess was saying. When you're trying to build a team and you're trying to say, oh, we've got to get back up there, got to get fans back in the building, you need stars that people want to show up to see.
When I go
watch the Cubs last summer, these last couple of years, I look out there on the field, I'm like, who the hell do I want to pay to watch now? And the prices are so exorbitant.
You're right.
And so crazy that I know that there are fans out there that are watching this unfold and going, why in the hell am I going to spend my money to support an ownership group that's not going to spend the way it needs to put a compelling product on the field?
Thanks, Nick.
Hey, Nick, we got two other quick questions for you.
Oh, basketball related.
Barkley,
oh, yeah.
Barkley was on with our guys Waddle and Sylvie and said the Bulls need to blow it up. Start trading away Vooch and DeRozan. Get rid of all these guys. What do you think?
Cap, you know what I think. I've been saying that long before the Chucks just started saying that.
Yep.
That team, they're not good enough. Like, this is it ties into the same conversation. Was the first half of last year fun in that it was a revitalization of, hey, the Bulls are fun to watch, and you can go to the UC, and you can see a whole bunch of different stuff, and it is exciting again. Cool. They were never good enough. Look at how they spent the money on that roster. Ball is hurt. Oh, you don't say. He'd had some knee problems before. I don't know if giving Zach LaVine a max deal was the right move. Oh, he's got some knee problems still, and he's not as consistent defensively as he needs to be. Uh-oh. That Wendell Carter Jr. deal was awful. The moves that this front office has made have been, on the most part, really bad. And as Sylvie has pointed out, and Cap, I know you and Hoodie talk about it all the time. Sylvie always says it's three letters, NGP, not Gar and Pax. If it were Gar and Pax making these moves, people would be going,
I said that
nuts.
The other day.
Well, because everybody gets exactly a honeymoon right. period. Everyone gets a honeymoon. Like, even Gar and Pax had a honeymoon period.
No question.
So, yeah.
But the difference is, the difference is that Gar and Pax had at least gotten that team to the Eastern Conference Finals,
true,
and Derek
true.
Got hurt, and we know the whole story. This front office, anybody could have hired a solid coach. I really like Billy. I think he's a really good coach.
I do, too.
Mean, you're coming off of Jim Boylan.
Right.
The bar was so low that it really didn't matter.
That'd be like hiring me and Sylvie as the coach.
Right. So the bar was low. You signed DeRozan. That ended up being a really good move, although he's regressed a little bit this season. And getting Io in the second round, okay, cool. What else on this roster moving forward would lead you to believe that, yep, things are in a really good place? If I'm the Bulls, I am pressing every button I can. But guys, this is what is the frustrating part for a lot of the Bulls fans I still keep in touch with. Darren Pack's always built that team with an eye towards, well, we don't ever want to go to the first or second round and get bounced as our ceiling. That is what this team was last year.
Yeah.
I hear people saying, well, if Lonzo Ball was back, things would be different. Well, sure, they might win a couple more games, but they're still not getting out of the first or second round.
Correct.
They're not close to
All
a
right,
title.
Hey, we have a special guest who would like to say hi to you.
All right.
Fernell.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I got
the great Danny Zetterman, our boss.
The second you hang up this phone, I'm going to be a sad man. You just injected some real Cub fan perspective there. What you were telling Jesse and Cap, I wholeheartedly agree with. Are you free for the next 2.5 hours to just finish the show out with these two guys?
I would in a heartbeat, but I actually have to do some work, which is why I'm up so early.
He's
got to
go fight Kyrie. That's what he's got to do.
Oh, no.
I'm free again.
My wife says to me, she goes, you can hear the smile on Nick's face when he's talking to those boys.
No doubt. So good.
Hell yeah, Di.
Hey, I'm sure there's like a 36-year-old reliever coming back from Korea on a 1-year deal. We'll get that announced here probably today.
I just want to tell you truly that I love you both, but Cap, I love that you're now going at them again. I miss these
dudes.
Dude,
I've been going at them for the last
few years.
3 years.
I know, but I'm so glad that you have seen the light, truly, because you have such a powerful voice. Not only within that team, but within the fan base. And so if you are finally saying, hey, we got to spend some money, kid, like maybe your old pals Tom and Crane will be like, ah, okay. Aside from the nice quotes, I mean, hey, Tom's got a green light. Cool. He has got to be the one sitting there saying, we're going to spend, and we're going to spend a lot in the next few years. And one move or one big shortstop, that's not going to do it. You have to continuously reinvest in the product on the field, and that is not something in the eyes of a lot of fans like myself that they have done in these last few seasons, which is a joke given where they're at.
Nick, we
Thanks,
love
Nick.
You. Have a great
I love
day,
you
man.
Guys.
Keep listening.
All right, I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, we'll see you.
There's our guy, Nick Friedell.
So funny.
From Brooklyn.
So funny. I will say, like, owners like Ricketts are quick to tell, he told me, you know, we're suffering biblical losses. They don't come back and say, "Hey, we're
making biblical
revenues."
Of money.
Right? They don't brag about that, but they brag about the losses. Not brag, but you know what I mean. So, Nick's right in a lot of ways. Like, the basic argument is correct. And it's highlighted by the fact that these other teams are spending gobs of money.
Correct. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. So do the Cubs deserve the benefit of doubt in anything? And what about Rick Hahn? Poor guy's been neutered. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
That's why I say emergency.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say emergency.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game live, same game parlays. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun way to watch a sporting event. And Club Hawthorne, if you'd like to play the ponies like Jesse and I do. Good morning, Secretariat. I miss you, buddy. When you hear that sound again, be the 10th caller, and you will win a Hawthorne package worth $250. One housekeeping note,
yeah,
just for sports fans in the area. Did you know that North Central is playing tomorrow in the D3 semis on ESPN Plus? North Central... Naperville?
Sure.
Got a hell of a program. My son played against him. He went to Illinois Wesleyan. North Central gets Mary Harden Baylor, D3 semis. There are big-time players in those games. So tomorrow, ESPN Plus, 2:30. Go North Central.
Perfect.
There you go. We say good morning to Snorbor. What's up, Snorlake?
Good morning, fellas. How are we today?
Doing We're great.
Good, man.
What's
Chicago
happening?
Chicago sports sucks right now, but we got passion for
it. Well, lucky for you, Cap, I came from a town where the sports teams have won playoff appearance in the last 7 years. So
combined?
I know what this is like. Yes.
Oh, God.
So I know what this is like. No worries. You could always be Detroit. It could always be worse, buddy.
Off. Awful.
All right, let's get into shot or no shot. Last night, the Rams were lifted to a win over the Raiders by Baker Mayfield, giving the Rams a fourth win and effectively removing them as a threat to steal the number two pick from the Bears. The only team left that really could threaten to take that pick is Denver. Their pick, of course, belongs to Seattle. So my question, shot or no shot, with the Rams' win last night, the Bears are now locked in to the number two pick.
Shot. Absolute shot, because they could easily go 0-4. Easily go 0-4 the rest of the way and secure that pick. So, yeah, I mean, it's no doubt. Look at the schedule. They could, even 1-3, they could be locked in at 2.
Yeah, shot, and they are not winning another football game.
There you go.
And I said this at the start of the year, and everyone mocked me, Snorling. You know people did. I said the Bears are going to finish dead last in this division, and the team that you should all be fearing going forward resides in the Motor City. They are loaded with talent, and they got two more number one picks.
Not only are they going to get locked into two, they're going to give up over the last four games, here's my prediction, 150 points. They are going to give up just under 40 a game. That's my prediction.
Wow.
Look at the teams they're playing. Philadelphia's putting 40 on them. There's no doubt about that. In Detroit, they're putting 30 on them. There's no doubt about that. Buffalo's putting 35 to 40 on them. And then it's Minnesota, 35 to 40 on them. I'm telling you, close to 150, four games.
Wow, I'm going to say 120 to 125, a little less. But
right, but we're in the same ballpark.
30 might be reserved for the Lions, too, because this has been a weird Lions team. September, best offense in the NFL. October, when entire month scored one touchdown.
But when they play at home.
November, now they're the best offense in the NFL again. Maybe they just pop them for 42.
Yeah, when they play at home, they're much more dangerous than on the road. And they scored 31 at Soldier Field.
We're like, we treat ourselves like we're Indy. Go ahead, Snorling.
All right, the Tribune reviewed some of the players let go by Ryan Poles this season. Khalil Mack's been solid for the Chargers, leading the team in sacks. But aside from that, Robert Quinn never got off the ground in Philly. He's now on IR. Roquan has been quiet for Baltimore, and his replacement, Jack Sanborn, has become arguably the Bears' best defensive player. Meanwhile, guys like Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, and Jakeem Grant have either been hurt or uninspiring at best. So shot or no shot, the Bears getting rid of guys who haven't been high-quality players around the league is a good sign for Ryan Poles.
It depends what he does with it. If he doesn't draft at the top of the draft better than Ryan Pace did, it does not matter. Now, again, let me be clear. It was time for change in the coaching office, in the GM office. We got it. That's fine. They're going to finish the season 3-14. Who you pick? Let's see what he does. You can have all the cap space in the world. And if you make bad signings and bad draft picks, then where are we?
I come from the reporter world, so I'm going to say it's no shot. It's not good for him because you actually want to make trades that are good for both teams because it gives you some good vibes for in the future when you're trying to make trades. So it's not a great thing that those players aren't performing because teams might be reticent to trade with you in the future if you're not giving out good players in a sense. So no, I'm going to say no shot. It's not a good thing. Yes.
Tampa's been doing it for years in baseball. Teams still line up to trade with them. Tampa's been stealing good players from other teams and handing people garbage, and teams still get in line to deal with them.
I'd have to analyze it more. I'd have to analyze it more. No, I think it's part of it. If you are snookering them every time, they're going to be less willing to trade with you. But that's another debate.
Tim Anderson got caught liking a tweet from a fan yesterday. The tweet said, quote, "I've seen Frank Thomas wear a different jersey. I know TA will eventually as well." Shot or no shot? By liking this tweet, Tim is hinting he wants out of the South Side.
So read it one more time. What he liked it or he retweeted it? There's a difference.
He liked the tweet. "I've seen Frank Thomas wear a different jersey. I know TA will eventually as well."
You want to go first? I will say that he's not at... I'm going to say no shot that he's lobbying to get out of Chicago. He just knows that when his deal is up, they have two option years, $12.5 million this year and next, 23 and 24, that, yeah, there'll be a day that I'll be wearing somewhere else because I'm going to get paid.
I'm going to say shot. Not that he's lobbying, but it wouldn't destroy him if it happened. I thought was it 2 years left? Why am I blanking? I thought it was only one. I thought this was the second year of the option. I could be wrong. No, you're right. 23 and 24. I'm going to say shot. I don't think you like that tweet without something in the back of your head, you know, thinking that way.
Store.
All right, I have a question about Draymond Green, who was on the Uninterrupted podcast to talk about who he views as the greatest of all time in the NBA and why. Listen to this.
And he's been the best no matter what. When you look at the teams that Bron has carried to championships or carried to the finals, MJ didn't beat the greatest team ever assembled, nor did he run up against the greatest team ever assembled every year. You look at the skill set that Bron has. There's nobody that has ever played the game of basketball that can do what LeBron James does on a basketball court. Nobody. We all want to be like Mike, but what LeBron has been able to do and how he can control the game and, like, to do it this long, like, MJ retired. Like, this grueling. Like,
yeah.
Going to the finals year after year after year, Bron went 8 or 9 straight. Like, MJ took a break in right in the heat of that. Bron ain't taking no break. You know what he did? Went again and again and again and again.
My question, shot or no shot, Draymond's only saying this because the first half of his statement, he wanted to self-serve himself as a member of the greatest team ever assembled.
That's a shot, and that's a fallacy. I don't care they won 73 games. They didn't even freaking win the ring that year. It don't mean a thing without the ring. And, Michael, it literally is laughable that people think LeBron should be ahead of Michael Jordan. Michael was 6-0 in the finals with 6 finals MVPs. Michael would cut your heart out to win. LeBron, wonderfully talented, top 5 all time. Better than Michael Jordan? That's a joke.
Yeah, I'll say shot as well to your question. I agree with everything you said, Cap. I will say this, again, comparing eras. The athletes today are better, stronger, physical. They're, you know, it's a different training regimen. There's just nutrition to weightlifting to how you... So look, LeBron is at his peak, as it was a chiseled athlete. The basketball players back in MJ's day, including MJ, weren't exactly the same. Having said that, I take MJ 7 days a week.
I would also refute the LeBron didn't take no breaks thing. Yes, he takes breaks in season. We all know what it is, load management. Like MJ, every year, you go look at his basketball reference, 82 games, 82 games, 82 games, 81 games. LeBron has done that once. He did an 82-game season just to prove he could play every game of this every game of a season. And since that year, he's never played more than 60.
The two words I hate in the current-day sports is load management. Give me a break. Load management. You paid $30 million. Play.
Hold on a second. Hang on.
Okay.
I was the guy who was ripping Derek when he was here because he was the first one to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to him and apologized because I was wrong. I said, he was at the United Center. He's outside the locker room. He's on one of those mini trampolines
mm-hmm.
with a weighted ball.
Okay.
And he's doing his balancing, getting his core right, getting loose for a game. And he and I went at it here. And I'm standing there, and he looks up at me and kind of gives me a nod. And I go, I need 2 seconds when you get a chance. He jumps right off the trampoline. What's up? I said, I just want you to know something. You were right, and I was wrong.
Right. Well, when did you change your mind?
This is pre-pandemic. It's got to be like 2019.
Yeah, no, but why did you change your mind, I mean?
Because he knew his body better than we did. He was a pioneer. Now, were there moments where I thought you got to play through certain things? Yeah, I still feel that way, and I discussed this with him. But load management is being smart with your body. You don't have to play all. I would love to play all 82. I love that Max Scherzer will pile up 135 pitches and go 9. Love it all.
Right.
But we also have to understand times do change and we do evolve as we get more data. I got no problem if guys are going to sit occasionally.
Well, okay, then I disagree. With the more data, the more data, then we should lengthen the season. That's the answer, not skipping games. Lengthen the season then. Give them more time off between games. Force them to play a 7-month season instead of 6. Don't ask them to not play. This is your job to play. I'm sorry, you don't just take games off. I'm not a believer of that.
And my point's not that I have an issue with him doing the load management deal. It's whatever. Take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Data suggests that's better for you. But don't then let other players turn around and use that as an argument against your greatness because Jordan had to retire. He played 82 games every year. LeBron did it once and can never do it again. Like, that just shows how difficult it is to do that. So I don't think it should be a ding against Jordan that he retired.
No, absolutely not. I agree. I mean, we're all in agreement. You don't even go... Draymond shouldn't even go near criticizing Michael Jordan. Not around here, that's for sure.
All right, last one. Celebrity chef Alton Brown posted a video on Twitter eating a cinnamon roll, quote, Lincoln, Nebraska style. This style is mixing your cinnamon roll with a bowl of chili. Shot or no shot, you would eat this.
No shot. That's horrific. But you're also talking to a guy who does not like chicken and waffle. I don't like the sweet, savory mix. I like sweet more than savory, but I'm not a fried chicken person, but if I was going to eat chicken, I don't want maple syrup getting on my chicken.
Yeah, I'm a no disgusting. Shot too. Everything you just said, I agree with. No shot mixing that kind of stuff together.
Awful.
And I don't mix chicken and waffles either. So
yeah.
We're from Chicago. We don't do that.
We don't do that. Snorling.
That it?
That's it, boys.
All right. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to more of your calls. Our college and NFL picks segment is next. And Courtney Cronin at 8:35. Talking Bears. Be right back.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J. Hood Show.
Brought to you by Snorling.
Brought to you by Snorling.
Yeah. Snorling brought it to
is
you.
Is it actually brought to you by me? I think that's what it is.
Brought to you by Lou Malnati. We'll give it to whoever. The Friday Folder is because I love Hoodie. He's family to me. He's my partner. He can't stop talking sometimes during the week, and we get sidetracked and miss out on some topics that we had on our show list.
I listen every day, so, I know what you
jam
mean.
Jam it all back mean. Into the Friday folder. Here's Snorling.
All right, I want to start with a story that we wanted to get to yesterday. A Texas woman allegedly dumps 50 pounds of human feces at a police station. Cap, guess what her name was?
Wow.
Karen.
Mindy.
Oh, boy.
Mindy Jeanette Stevens, the wife of an assistant fire chief, allegedly dumped about 50 pounds of human bleep in front of the Electra Police Department last week, KXAN reported.
Do we know why?
No, we don't know why. Okay. All we know is an officer went outside to see what was going on, discovered 3 5-gallon buckets of what appeared to be human waste. A lot of questions get risen here. How long do you have to be collecting human waste to fill 3 5-gallon buckets?
Okay. I mean, that's just like so out of bounds and awful on every level. What is it with public servants, like, completely crossing the lines, or their family members? Because she's the wife, you said?
The wife of the fire chief, yeah.
Okay, how about the Chicago cop to add to this story? Chicago cop sidelined after allegedly urinating into a Florida bar's ice machine while he's on vacation.
I saw that one, too. I was going to bring that up.
You got to be kidding.
Like,
who among us?
Like, what?
That was Charlie at the bar on Sunday.
That's one way. Did he lose his job, the cop?
I don't know.
If he did, that's his dumb way
officers
to lose his job.
Officers arrived at Gulf Boulevard at the Beachcomber Hotel in St. Petersburg Beach at 6200 Gulf Boulevard. Officers there spoke with an employee who said he saw a man later identified as Chicago police officer Henry Capouch, C-A-P-O-U-C-H, 30.
Capouch, I think.
Capouch. Pissing in the ice in the machine. What?
How drunk can you be to...
No, probably not that drunk, to be honest.
I might have a substance abuse problem. So, oh, my God.
Where would you store 50 pounds of... Like, do you get, like...
I can't even conceive why someone would do that.
Stinks in the house. What is that?
I think you got
nothing.
I think you got to get a storage unit. Like, you got to rent one out.
The police lieutenant was reviewing the surveillance video. He recognized her voice. And so that's how they found her. The city administrator actually gave her an opportunity to come pick up the buckets. He said, if you come pick this up, you won't face charges. She dropped them off in a hazmat suit. So she was probably storing them for a while. She said the woman refused to clean up her mess and said it was, quote, not her problem.
Jeez. People are out of their
get
mind.
A septic tank, man.
Snorling.
How about a Georgia couple that figured out a Walmart hack and stole over $6,000 in merchandise? A man and woman in Georgia confused a Walmart cashier. They gave the credit cards and swiped them for high-limit purchases and then asked the cashier to hit the cash button on the register to take the payment. So it tricked it into swiping the cards but expected cash payment, and then they just were able to leave the store.
Oh, wow.
It was the cashier in on it?
No, the cashier was probably an older person or something. It was confused by what was going on. So this has been said now. It's called theft by deception, and they're looking for the couple.
Right. So they swipe the card, but somehow convince them to hit the cash button. And so the card never takes, basically.
That's right? Just a heads-up play, if you ask me.
Wow.
Theft by deception. That sounds right.
That's awful. Okay, go ahead.
How about people being tricked into thinking FIFA 23, the video game, is real video and they're watching World Cup streams? So the World Cup in some parts of the world is difficult to watch if you don't have access to cable. There are people who are charging for quote-unquote illegal or legal streams of the World Cup that are actually just pixelated replays of the video game.
That might be my favorite story. You don't know if you're watching a video game or the World Cup. That's rich.
That is unbelievable.
That's rich. I like that one.
That is absolutely incredible. Boy, that was a hell of a game.
You actually didn't see it. Yeah,
exactly. What's it say about me that I've heard two of these so far? I'm like, these are good moves.
Yeah, these are good bits.
That's actually a really good scam, I think. Like, and it's just kind of on the person. Like, if you're paying to watch the game illegally or watch it on a YouTube, you're subscribed to a live YouTube thing, thinking you're going to get the actual World Cup and you're just watching a video game, it's on you a little bit.
Unbelievable.
I suppose, but if you're in a country that, like you said, doesn't have good internet or whatever, and you don't know, I mean, yeah, it is on you. I just think it's funny that it could be that good a quality a video game that you get it confused. That's pretty impressive.
It's incredible. Snorling.
This I wanted to get to yesterday as well. Hot Pockets are debuting cargo shorts. The brand Hot Pockets are going to start selling cargo shorts. These cargo shorts have insulated cargo pockets so you can store calzones, patties, empanadas, Hot Pockets, anything you want in your insulated cargo pocket for easy access and easy eating.
I have never had a Hot Pocket.
I've had one, not recently. But I've never stored one in my pants. I mean, they're making them so you can store them and walk around with these Hot Pockets? Is that it? And keep them warm?
Pockets. It looks, you know the, like, travel coolers that have the, like, astronaut lining in them? The pockets have that same insulated lining, so you can put your Hot Pocket in your cargo pocket.
Sebastian Maniscalco does a bit, like, you check in at the Wynn in Vegas, this beautiful hotel, and people have, like, a cooler, a six-pack of, you know, Miller Lite that they're dragging through the lobby of the hotel. It's, like, total white trash stuff. I can picture someone with their Hot Pocket shorts, right? Walking in a fancy hotel, their six-pack. No.
And a bunch of Hot Pockets.
Right, and a bunch of Hot Pockets.
It would be easy to notice, too. Right on the pant leg, it says the Hot Pockets with the logo. And then comes with a matching hoodie that has flames on the sleeves and a logo that says irresistibly hot on the front and hotter in the Wild West on the back. So you're decked out if you're getting the Hot Pockets cargo shorts.
Other than the first one, I've only heard good ideas in this segment.
Okay. Sidebar, may I approach?
Please yes. Do.
Brought to you by Ankin Law, $3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer on your phone. Sign my ball. Okay. So I was at the Wynn for my son's bachelor party. I am at the pool. I go in to make a bet in the sports book. I walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, hey, Cap. And I look, and there's
my guy.
Two gentlemen sitting at one of those cabanas out in front of it. Just the two of them.
Yeah.
And I look, I'm like, that dude's Sebastian Maniscalco. But it wasn't he who said, hey, Cap. It was another guy with him, his dad.
Yeah.
I believe his dad's name is Salvatore.
Believe you're right.
He still cuts hair.
Yep.
Out in Arlington Heights.
Yep.
Salvatore says, Cap. I listen to you in hoodie every morning.
Yeah.
Sebastian stands up and goes, hey, Cap, good to see you again, because I've interviewed him before. You got him on us.
Yeah, that's right.
With us here.
Right.
And Salvatore, he said, my dad loves that show.
Yep.
I said, good. You can sit down. I'd rather talk to your dad.
Oh, his dad's a hoot. I sat next to him on his,
amazing.
At one of Sebastian's shows, I sat next to him, and it was so cool to see the dad of the comedian up there. Howling like he was bent over, and you know he's seen the show a million times. Great guy. Talked to him a little bit. Was sitting next to him. Great guy.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I love the fact that you know he's from here. You know what I mean? Like
Salvatore Maniscalco, you are the man.
Yeah, he is. And someone sent me Sebastian is making so much money on the road. I think he made the most of any comedian last year.
Do you know he does like private parties for like the rich and famous?
Yeah.
Dude, it's stupid what they pay.
He was in The Irishman, too.
But he's been in movies. I think he's got a movie of his life coming out, a fictionalized version of it. But he's made it big after just grinding and grinding and grinding. Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of Sebastian and his dad as well. So back to you, Snorling, real quick.
Baker Mayfield does maybe the stupidest thing I've ever seen. He does this often. It's kind of his thing. He headbutts his teammates without his helmet on.
Yeah, we saw that. Yep.
He did that last night after the win, and it shocked the Rams coaching staff, who had apparently never seen it and were worried for his safety. I would be, too, if I saw my quarterback, de facto, go and smoke somebody with a headbutt without a helmet on.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And then he got the game ball.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense, knowing his personality. I think he's kind of nuts. I don't think he's much of a quarterback, but I could see a guy like that button heads with somebody wearing a helmet.
I think it's so, like, dorky. Like, yeah. Look at me! Look how tough I
totally,
am.
Totally, totally. Remember like when remember when Josh Naylor of the Guardians headbutted Francona, but Francona put a helmet on, put a batting helmet on.
Right, but that's what Baker's doing. He's naked head headbutting guys wearing football helmets, hitting them right in the face mask. And then the question becomes for me, is Baker headbutting these guys because he's nuts, or is he nuts because he's headbutting these guys?
Both. How about that?
Scholars argue.
He's nuts. That's all I can tell you. I think he's nuts. And I don't think he's much of a quarterback.
I don't either.
That is the Friday folder. We have the Cap and Jay Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day. And Tracy Butler coming in the studio next.